Good morning. Receive greetings from sunny Orlando. I had to rub that in. But jokes aside, I am really delighted to be here. Thank you for the invitation to come and speak. What I am about to share with you is something personal from that very text that has been read for you a few minutes ago. It is something personal, and it is how that text spoke to me. Chances are, when you read the text during your quiet time, or whenever you did it, during maybe Dr. Bauer's inductive Bible study, or Joe Donjell's inductive Bible study, or any of those biblical studies professors, maybe it struck you differently. But for me, it's personal. And you will get to see that in a moment. As I reflect on that passage and what it means and its implications for my life, one thing it taught me quite profoundly was the importance of bringing my burdens to Jesus, surrendering my concerns to Jesus, lifting the things that trouble me and bother me to the throne of grace in prayer. And I know that you, as a student or a faculty member or the staff, you have your own sets of problems, concerns, weights, burdens. We wrestle with this idea, especially in the field of philosophy called the problem of evil and suffering and pain. There's a whole course that has been dedicated to that. And philosophers continue to struggle with why we have problems, why we have pain, why we have suffering. And Jesus says, bring it on. I got it. I'll take care of it. So whatever your problems are, whatever your concerns are, whatever the weights you are carrying, whereas we have various means of wrestling with those issues and solving our problems, I think the first and foremost thing we need to do is to bring those concerns, those weights, those burdens to Jesus. As I read that passage, three truths come to mind about surrendering your burdens to Jesus, surrendering your problems to Jesus, bringing your problems to Jesus. You bring your problems to Jesus because, first of all, no problem is too small for his attention. No problem is too small for his attention. You look at verse 29. The Bible says, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. Jesus went to her, took her by the hand, and helped her up, and the fever left her, and she began to wait on them. Now, back up a little bit to the preceding verses. It says that Jesus was told about Simon's mother-in-law. She was in bed with a fever. When you hear that someone is in bed with a fever, you're not terribly worried. You're not as worried as when you hear that someone is in a diabetic coma. You're not as worried or as concerned as when you hear that someone had a cardiac arrest. You are not as concerned as when you hear that someone is dealing with stage 4 cancer. When you hear that someone has a fever, you will say, yeah, take Tylenol, you'll be fine. Take ibuprofen, you will be fine. Take Motrin or Aleve, you'll be fine. Or rub some herbs on your forehead, and you will be okay. But you know, the disciples, James and John and Simon and Andrew, did not begin to solve the problem by looking for human means. The Bible says they took that problem to Jesus. they told Jesus about her. And the Bible says, Jesus went to her, took her by the hand, and helped her up. And the fever left her because no problem is too small for his attention. When you're carrying a problem that you think does not necessarily need the Lord's intervention, may I suggest to you that before you call your doctor, before you call your lawyer, before you call your counselor, before you call your professor, take that problem to Jesus, because no problem is too small for his attention. You can do that in the morning before you wake up, whether it's a matter of fixing a bulb, or it's a matter of doing your laundry, or cleaning your home, or driving from point A to point B. Take your problems to Jesus first thing in the morning, because no problem is too small for his attention. You bring your burdens and your problems to Jesus, first of all, because no problem is too small for his attention. Secondly, because no problem is too sizable for his ability. No problem is too sizable for his ability. You look at verse 32. It says, that evening, after sunset, the people brought all the sick and all the demon-possessed to Jesus. That is a king-size problem. And the whole town gathered at the door. That is a king-size problem. The whole town, the whole county, the whole area, the whole city came to Jesus. If I was a good surgeon and I was in Wilmore and I began treating people, and then I hear that the whole of Wilmore has come to receive treatment from me because they are sick, I will be out of here in a flash. But Jesus was right there. The Bible says he healed all the sick. In fact, the Bible says Jesus healed many who had various diseases, and he also cast out many demons. If you go to the parallel text in the book of Matthew chapter 8, the Bible reminds us that Jesus healed all of them. He set them all free. Why? Because no problem is too sizable for his ability. First of all, no problem is too small for his attention. Secondly, no problem is too sizable for his ability. On the 15th of February, 2016, my wife received a message that no woman should ever hear. She was told, we have tested you, and there's a little bit of cancer in you, breast cancer. I was terrified. I was shocked. I was petrified. I was horrified. And I'm sitting there looking at my wife and remembering my five-year-old son at that time, not knowing what to do. And I was telling myself, I teach my students about the problem of evil. How in the world am I going to tell them how to handle problems of suffering and pain in the midst of all this? Members of my congregation depend on me for pastoral counsel. There were many who came to me diagnosed with cancer, and I told them, God will heal you. And now it was time for me to begin to experience that very issue in life. It was difficult. I fasted for 21 days, squeezing juice out of fruits, squeezing juice out of vegetables as the only meal I would have, telling God and crying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, Lord Jesus, have mercy on my wife. Have mercy on my son. Have mercy on my family. Lord Jesus, please come to my rescue. I fasted again for another 21 days, calling upon the name of the Lord and asking him to come through for my family. come through for my wife. 2 years ago, she was going for an oncologist checkup, and the oncologist looks at her and says, Sophie, if this cancer was ever to return, it should have come back by now. And you hear that sense of relief engulfing you, and you are like, thank you, Jesus. About 2 weeks ago, she had another scare. She went back to the doctor for an MRI. And then the doctor looks at the results and says, you have nothing to worry about. You are all clear. Why? Because no problem is too sizable for his ability. Now, I am not saying for one moment that God will always, always, always heal you. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm telling you is, if you have a heavy burden, if you have a weighty concern, if there's something that is weighing heavily in your heart, take that problem to Jesus, because no problem is too sizable for his ability. Bring your problems to Jesus, not only because no problem is too small for his attention, or because no problem is too sizable for his ability. The third reason you and I should bring our problems to Jesus is because no problem is too stubborn for his authority. No problem is too stubborn for his authority. The Bible says toward the end of verse 34 that Jesus would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. He would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Now, I'm from Africa, and if you are ever to go with me to Africa to preach the gospel, they'll say, Joseph, you be quiet, we know how you preach. Let's hear about these individuals from the Western culture. We want to hear a fresh message from them. And you will stand there and preach a rational sermon like the one I'm giving you right now. And then they'll say, okay, now that you have preached, there are some demons all over here. Could you please come and cast them out? In philosophy, we deal with what we call metaphysics. Metaphysics asks the question, what is the reality of the physical object presenting itself to me? What is it that goes beyond the physical into the metaphysical? We ask those questions. Whereas in the West, metaphysics seems to be primarily about speculation. In Africa, metaphysics is about the existence of demons. Now, John Hick made a very interesting comment in one of his works. He said, for the biblical writers, the non-existence of God was psychologically impossible for them. May I suggest to you that by analogy, for the African mind, the non-existence of demons is psychologically impossible for them. Why? Because they encounter them every now and then. They seem to be so aware of the spiritual world. I have encountered them. I cannot deny their existence. I've encountered instances where people seem to be possessed by a different personality. And the moment you mention the name of Jesus, you can begin to see them squirm, feeling the pain. It happens. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Screwtape Letters, says that there are two extremes we need to guard against when we are dealing with the questions of demons and demonology. Number one is to have an unhealthy interest in them, namely seeing them behind every bush. But number two is to pretend that they don't exist. The neutral, or at least the balanced position, is to consider them as existent, but don't let them permeate your life. Don't give them a foothold. Now, that is my conclusion, not C.S. Lewis's. And the reason I'm telling you this is Way back in 1992, I was still in Bible school, getting ready to complete my Bachelor's of Theology degree, and we had gone to one of the rural parts of my home country, Kenya, and as we were going from one home to another preaching the gospel, we came face to face with a gentleman who seemed to be beset by several spirits. And so, not knowing exactly what to do, some of us were praying at this person and praying for this person. And then I suggested, hey, listen, let's do this. Let's have two mature individuals from our group take this man to the adjacent room on the other side, and then the rest of us, let us pray and pray and pray for this person's deliverance. So we prayed. Not too long after they had gone in, one of the counselors rushed back while we were still praying, singing songs of victory and songs of deliverance, kind of like the ones we just sang here today, but in an African setting. And he said, the demons have spoken and they have told us that there are five of them in there. So he said, okay, let's pray. So we kept on praying. After 1 hour, the man rushes back and tells us, one demon is gone. There are still four more in there. So he rushes back saying, keep praying. So we kept on praying. After another hour, I'm telling you this as something that I personally witnessed. This guy comes back and says, demon number two is gone. Keep praying. So he goes back in there to counsel the guy, and we are praying, asking for that guy's deliverance. After the third hour, he comes back and tells us, hey, demon number three is gone. There are still two more. Keep on praying. So he rushes back in there, and we are praying and praying. He comes back again and says, demon number four is gone. There's still one more. Keep praying. He goes back in there and counsels that guy as we were praying here, and he kept on, as we kept on praying. Remember, two of them had gone in with that guy. All three were coming back, and the guy was walking in with his hands up, saying, I am free. I am free. I've been delivered. 5 hours praying for this man to be delivered. And today, as I speak with you, he is a pastor. Why? Because no problem is too stubborn for his authority. No problem is too small for his attention. No problem is too sizable for his ability. No problem is too stubborn for his authority. And when you bring your problems to Jesus to see how he can deliver you, it is amazing. 2 years ago, I had kidney stones and I was lying in the hospital bed in the emergency room. And I'm praying and calling on the name of the Lord to heal me. And then finally, when I was done, my wife decided it's time to pray for this guy. He prays for me, and just like that, the pain was gone. No problem is too stubborn for his authority. No problem is too small for his attention. No problem is too sizable for his ability. No problem is too stubborn for his authority. In the book of Psalm 119, as you read the entire psalm, especially in Hebrew, you will discover that several letters in each segment begins with a letter of the alphabet. From the first letter of the alphabet to the 22nd letter of the alphabet. Allow me to give you the ABCs of God's healing power, why you and I should bring our problems to Jesus. First is because he is almighty, because he is benevolent, because he is creator, because he is the deliverer, because he is everlasting, because he is faithful, because he is God, because he is holy, because he is Emmanuel, because he is Jesus, because he is King, because he is Lord, because he is Master, because he is a no-nonsense necessity, because he is omniscient, because he is the Prince of Peace, because he is quintessential, because he is our Redeemer, because he is our Savior, because he is trustworthy, because he is unmatched, because he is victorious, because he is worthy, because he is Zenodokio, because he is Yahweh, and because he is the zenith of Zion. Bring your problems to Jesus, because no problem is too small for his attention. No problem is too sizable for his ability. No problem is too stubborn for his authority. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless it into our lives, into our hearts. Help us to be daring enough and courageous enough to bring our problems to you, that each day we will see you lifting our burdens for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.